And we make a confession here of really it's not anything other than our confidence in God, His Holy Spirit, to speak to us through His Word. And we have the words on the screen here. So even if you're streaming there, if you would join along with us, if you are in agreement with this, with us on these statements, you'll see it there so you'll know. But I'd like to ask you, if you have your Bible, would you grab it and join me as we make this confession together in what we believe about God's Word and about Him speaking to us through His Word, okay? Ready? Will you say it with me? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By its truth, I am set free, free indeed. I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. My mind is alert, my heart is open, my spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Before I read the words of Jesus there in John, I wanted to share just a few verses. Again, if you want to write this reference down from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, because this basically will set us up for the message. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and beginning in verse 9, and we can have them on the screen here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 9, I'm sorry, chapter 2 and verse 9. And the Bible says this, "The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan." This is a prophecy, basically like a prediction of something that's coming. And he says that this one will so come with all power, signs, and lying wonders. It's something that is meant to deceive. And then he goes on in verse 10, "And with all unrighteous deception among those who perish," and please notice these words, "because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved." They did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. He goes on in verse 11. See, if we reject truth, all that's left is deception. If we reject light, all that's left is darkness. And the truth that saves us is the gospel. It is the good news of Jesus Christ that is the power of God unto salvation that frees us from sin and death. So he goes on then and he says in verse 11, "For this reason, because of rejecting or not receiving the love of the truth, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness." That's the heart of the matter right there, that they had pleasure in unrighteousness. There is a, again, when we believe God's testimony and receive Jesus as Lord, He cleanses us from all sin and His Holy Spirit indwells us. Then we take pleasure in righteousness. We want to do what's right. Something that, you know, we want to pray and we want to worship. We want to hear God's word. But that's the battle, isn't it? Spirit battles flesh. In other words, we have that natural tendency to sin, and we still have that even after we're forgiven and God's Spirit indwells us, but we have new desires that God's Holy Spirit puts in us too. And so we have the battle. That's where we have to constantly feed ourselves and focus on the Holy Spirit and renew our mind so we walk in His way so that the Spirit has victory over the flesh in us. Three steps this morning that I want to share with you, if you want to write them down. I'll tell you what they are, and we'll focus on each one for a moment, give you scripture. But I want you to hear it just so you begin to get it in your heart, get it in your mind, and ultimately to live it out. But three steps to keep us on the right path with the Lord, because again, we all have a tendency towards sin. None of us have arrived. No one is above falling. So we want to stay in God's full blessing. And here they are right here, and it's the title of the message too. I just worked it in, six words, love truth, learn truth, and live truth. Love truth, learn truth, live truth. Would you say that with me? Love truth, learn truth, live truth. John chapter 14. Let's allow Jesus to tell us what truth is. John chapter 14, and the scripture says this in verse 6. John 14, 6. Many of you are familiar with this scripture. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I've studied this, and see the words there, the little words, the. It's in this particular, you know, in the Greek language, when Jesus said it, it would have sounded like this, okay? I am the, all right? He said, I am the, not one among many. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the truth. It's not your truth and my truth, the truth. No one comes to the Father except through me. All roads do not lead to heaven. So I am the truth. And I know sometimes, you know, it's popular in our culture to say, well, there's no such thing as absolute truth. You know, well, that's true for you and that's good. This is true for me and that's good. And we're, you know, everybody's okay. Think about that a second. There is no such thing as absolute truth. That's a statement of absolute truth. But see, we can't have it both ways. Either absolute truth exists or it doesn't. Truth, according to this book, which gives testimony that it is actually inspired by God. Truth, according to the scripture, is that God is holy and he created us for fellowship and fruitfulness with him. But man broke God's commandments and set in motion a law called the law of sin and death. And the reason we see what we see in our world today are the effects of what's called the curse, the law of sin and death. It's not what God wanted. It's not how he created us. When he created everything, he looked back on it and said it was very good. It was good. So he didn't create suffering and sickness and cancer and heartbreak and addiction, and all those things came as a result of sin. But even though God is holy, God is love. And thank God in his mercy. The Bible says God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. He demonstrated his love toward us. And while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The Son of God left the glory of heaven and clothed himself in a human body and lived a sinless life and showed us how to live God's way and taught us God's truth. And he willingly allowed humans to take him and beat him and crucify and mock him and nail him to a cross and hang there for 6 hours suffering, paying the price of judgment against our sins. He didn't deserve to die. The Bible says the penalty for sin is death, not just physically, but spiritually, separation from God. Our sin separated us from God. But Jesus came and bore our punishment so that God is a righteous judge. He punished the sin, but now he can offer mercy to the sinner because the sin was already judged. The punishment was executed on Jesus on the cross, and Jesus came back to life, conquering the grave to confirm everything that he said. He's back seated beside his Father in heaven and will save anyone and everyone who's simply willing to turn from unbelief and turn from sin to believe in their heart in Jesus as Lord. And when that takes place, God not only forgives all of our sin, he makes us righteous so we can stand before God like we never sinned. That's the power of the blood of Jesus and the work of Christ at Calvary, and His Holy Spirit indwells us, and we'll never have to go through anything again in this life by ourselves because He is on the inside. That's the good, that's truth, according to the scripture. Thank God, if you don't know Him, I don't know who's watching, streaming, listening, who isn't. If that is not your testimony, would you receive the love of the truth today? Would you receive the love of the Lord and welcome Him as Lord in your heart and life? And then not only is Jesus truth, John chapter 17, Jesus is still speaking here in John chapter 17 and verse 17. John 17, 17, the Bible says, again, Jesus speaking, says, sanctify them or set them apart by your truth. Your word is truth. So truth then is in Jesus. Jesus is the truth, but God's word is truth as well. We cannot separate them from one another. Jesus is truth and God's word is truth. Jesus said, he's praying to his Father, and he said, sanctify them. In other words, set them apart. Brothers and sisters, if we live by the truth of God's word, we will be set apart from the unbelieving world around us. And we can be a light to those around us. Love truth. Learn truth. Live truth. See, if we receive Jesus as Lord, the law of sin and death isn't done away, but the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus sets us free from that law of sin and death, and we get to live forever. Love truth, learn truth, live truth. Would you say that with me? Love truth, learn truth, live truth. So the first step, love truth. Here's the second one. In fact, let me ask you this. How many of you have maybe some type of maybe an interest or hobby or something like that? You say, I really enjoy this. I love doing that. Whatever it may be. Would any of you say, you know, and I'll just throw something out. Let's say someone loves basketball. Well, you know, if they enjoy that sport, that's fine. I'm not bashing that. But anyone have any kind of a love? Yes. Shopping. No. what?
I like working in the flower bed.
Okay. All right. This is my wife, Kim. She says she loves working in the flower bed. Mm-hmm. All right. Anyone? Okay, Rick? Drawing? Okay. Who else? Miss Sherry?
Bowling.
All right. Doc?
Woodcraft.
All right. So let me get those of you who've responded so far. Woodcraft, bowling, working in the garden, drawing. So there's something you would say it's kind of like you're passionate about. You enjoy doing that. You love it. Have you ever tried to learn anything about plants, or you maybe buy something, you learn something about gardening, you've tried to inform yourself a little bit because you love it? Okay, all right. Rick, you've learned some things about art or drawing and so forth that because you loved it, that you pursued it. Maybe bowling, you learned some techniques or something maybe along that line. Doc, you have some interest in, you know, working with wood. Have you learned anything about different types of wood or patterns or tools and so forth over the years? All right. He says he takes what he learns and does it his way. Nancy. She likes to fish. All right. I'm with you. Can we? I go with you sometime. But if you enjoy it, I guess my point is, if you love something, you want to learn about it. You want to learn maybe about this lure worked, or somebody said try this over in that spot, or learn that technique, or whatever it may be, because we want to be fruitful with it. But it's the same thing with a person. Of course, if we love a person, maybe you're interested in someone and you have some kind of a whatever, maybe a little attraction, and you want to learn something about them. It's the same thing with the Lord. If we love Him, we love truth, we love Him, and we love His Word, what are we going to do? We're going to want to learn. We're going to want to learn about Jesus. We're going to want to learn His Word because we love it. But do you see how it starts with love? It's not just, Christianity is not just a bunch of, you know, rules and regulations. It's a relationship, knowing God as a Father. The Bible says love fulfills the law. Now, we can keep commandments and we can do things outwardly and not even necessarily be a Christian. But God wants us, he wants to change our heart so we do it because we love him just like he did for us what he did. Motivated by love. That's a powerful motivation. So it says here, in fact, I'm going to read this from Matthew chapter 11. This is Jesus still speaking here. Matthew chapter 11. The Bible says this. This is a great invitation. Matthew 11, 28. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Isn't that a great word? "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart. You will find rest on the inside for your souls." How many of you know what a yoke? And it's not like the yellow of an egg. It's spelled different. Yoke is, how many of you know what a yoke is? Okay, many of you. Somebody tell me. Okay, that's right. It's basically like a wood, what we call a harness, if you're not familiar. Say if you had two ox and you were going to plow like they used to do more in the time, they would be side by side and the yoke would go over their necks to keep them together. And from what I understand in the farming, one ox is called the lead ox. It would take the lead and just basically set the pace and so forth of the pattern of walking along together. So it almost would sound like a contradiction. Hey, come to me and you'll find rest for your souls. But he says, take my yoke upon you. So what he's saying, and that was also used to describe teaching at the time. So it was like teaching and discipleship. But the Lord was saying, if you come to me and you get in partnership with me, I'll take the lead, you follow, and I'll lead you in a path. Get to know me. He said, learn. He said, come to me and learn from me. Then you'll find rest for your souls. Because as we're fellowshipping together, you'll get to learn more about me, and I'll be a bigger influence in your life, and my peace is going to become your peace. And guard your heart and mind, and you will enter my rest. Doesn't the scripture say that in the book of Hebrews? To enter into his rest. So it's coming into that place of, he's not trying to wear us out with work, and we call it ministry. Yes, there are times our bodies get tired. Sometimes we may get tired in the ministry, but God doesn't want us to get tired of the ministry, of serving. Because again, it's loving, it's letting him take the lead. He says, you come to me, follow me, surrender to me, and I'll minister to you as we walk this thing out together. Fellowship. See, loving truth and then learning truth. And then the Bible also says this in Romans 15, 4, if you just want to write the reference down. Romans chapter 15 and verse 4 says, for whatsoever things were written before were written for our what? For our learning. That we, through the patience, that word's also translated perseverance, through the patience and perseverance and the comfort of the scriptures might have hope. God's word will inspire hope. God's word will bring comfort. God's word helps us to persevere through those difficult times. But if we never take advantage of it, we'll rob ourselves of what God wants us to have. Do you see how it's important to not only love truth, but to learn truth? To learn the person of Jesus, he's truth, fellowship with him, but also to learn, as he said, the truth of God's word. Brothers and sisters, it's important to learn the truths of God's word because Jesus told us that there would be widespread deception before he returns. And scripture is our safeguard from deception. And the truth of God's word also helps us to discern truth from error. Because he says many will be deceived in that last day. And I know you don't want to be. If you didn't care about the truth, you wouldn't even be here, I'm sure. You wouldn't be listening. But I'm saying let's maybe reignite that. To love truth, love the Lord, love his word, to learn the truth. Let's get it in us and to begin to live it out. Because God's word is not only will show us, you know, like truth from error. God's word is a guide for living right. The Bible says all scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for, and he goes on, for teaching, correction, for instruction in righteousness. It will teach us how to live right. And God guides us not only with commandments, but he guides us with examples so that good and bad. We can look at good examples and follow them, and we can look at bad examples and say, I need to avoid that. That's not what I need to do. Some of you, and you don't have to raise your hand on this, but I know that some of us here could say, there was a time, maybe an occasion or even a season in my life when I was not doing God's will, and I had to face some consequences as a result. Some of us can say that here today. But let that be, that's not to condemn anyone. It's to encourage you, hey, let's stay on the right path. Because even if that's our testimony, just like through the Bible, like David, if we will bring that to the Lord and seek to make it right, just have a repentant heart, God will give us grace even if we have to walk through consequences. And we can still experience the blessing of the Lord. So he says here, again, these things were written for our example. Scripture guides us in relationship. What does the Bible say about maybe family and friends and marriage? I know what culture may say this or that. I say, what does Scripture say? You see what I'm saying? We need to know truth. What does Scripture say about work or work ethic? What does Scripture say about just temptations and trials? It talks to us about real life, not just something, you know, kind of off in the whatever. It's right here where we are so that we can relate. So love truth, learn truth, and then I'll give you one more in just a moment. In fact, you want to write it down, live truth. Again, we've been saying it all along. Love truth, learn truth, live truth. I want to show you something of an example. If you want to write the reference down, it's in the book of Joshua chapter 9. Joshua chapter 9. And this is how the devil operates. It's a picture of deception, how he wants to deceive people. Joshua chapter 9, beginning in verse 3, says that when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard that Joshua had done to Jericho and Ai, how he had defeated them, they're on their way into the land God had promised them through his word. Verse 4 says, they worked craftily and went and pretended to be ambassadors. And what they did was, they lived nearby, and God told them, don't make a covenant with people right there where you are. If you do, they're going to lead you astray. They're idolaters. We need to guard our heart in some relationships and not get real close. Love people, minister to people, share the gospel, but we need to be careful about who we join our heart to. I'll say we need to be wise. And so what they did is, they said, hey, we're hearing how they're defeating these other places, so let's do this. And they got like old shoes they put on, old dirty clothes. They took a wineskin, and it was real old and cracked, dirty. And they took some old crusty bread, moldy bread. You know, that stuff you find after a month in your bread basket or whatever. You didn't know you had it in there. And when they came to Joshua and the elders and all leaders, they said, we come from a far country, and we're here. We want to make a covenant with you. You enter into an agreement with us, and we're going to be in covenant relationship together, and you protect us. And they said, well, how do we know? Y'all might have come from somewhere nearby. And he said, oh, no, look. This bread came hot out of the oven when we left. And I just bought this outfit. These are brand new shoes. These are brand new threads. and they're everything. And they went by what they saw and what they heard. Remember, what we see, think, and feel sometimes can lead us astray. And it says this. I want to read you one more verse out of that chapter, because it specifically says this in Joshua chapter 9 and verse 14. It says, the men of Israel took some of their provisions, but they did not ask counsel of the Lord. And they got into a covenant with them that God had already told them not to do. Isn't that something? Do you see what I'm saying? We have to have a guide beyond our own understanding, beyond our own eyesight, or beyond our own emotions. And God's word is that guide. John chapter 14. Let me give you these last few verses here. Love truth, learn truth, live truth. Will you say that with me? Love truth, learn truth, live truth. Jesus says in John 14:15, if you love me, what? keep my commandments. Some translations say, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So if we love truth, we'll want to learn truth, and we learn truth so that we can live it. We put a devotion out here on the table. It's not provided by us. It's, I think, Bob Gass, G-A-S-S Ministries. It's called The Word for You Today. And on February 24th, just last month, here's what that devotion said. It said that head knowledge of God's Word can water a root of spiritual pride. Please notice how it words this. That applauds the Scriptures but does not apply them. Isn't that something? Oh, that was good. That was a good word. But then we don't put it into practice in our lives. And if we don't, we miss it, because God's full blessing is found in obedience, not just the hearing. In fact, the hearing can lead to self-deception, as James tells us. And then Philippians chapter 4. Would you turn there? Just, I'd like to share these verses with you. Philippians chapter 4, over just a few books from John. Philippians chapter 4, great verses to focus on, get down in our heart and to learn. And the Bible says this, again, talking about focusing on truth, learning it, living it out, loving truth. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8 says this. Finally, brethren, whatever things are, notice the first item listed, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure. See, that's why I can't watch certain things. Because if I let that just begin to take over my imagination and my heart and my thoughts, then I'm not focusing on what's pure. So focus on what's pure, things that are lovely, whatever things are of good report. If there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy or worthy of praise, meditate on these things. Think on these things. Dwell on these things. Focus. Would you say focus? We choose what we focus on, and what we focus on grows. So the Scripture tells us, focus on what's true. Dwell on what's true. Is there a good report? I know we have plenty, and I'm all for, I want to be informed. And I'm, you know, I watch the news. I watch multiple news feeds. I've been doing that for years. I watch this extreme to that pretty much, at least for a few minutes, so I can see what they're emphasizing or what they're spinning, if you want to say it that way. I don't know. It seems like to me a lot of people are frustrated with the news because you don't know if what you're getting is accurate or not, or if you're getting all the information. Brothers and sisters, I want to be informed, but there is only one source of eternal, inspired truth, and that's God's Word. And that's why I want to make sure that I know what this is more than even what I know about the news. So, or whatever else, a hobby or sports or anything. And so to focus on this, dwell on it, because I can dwell on some things that aren't of a good report. Again, I can hear it, but I want to dwell on what God tells me to dwell on. Notice what he says then in the next verse, verse 9. The things which you have, again, learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. See, if we focus on what God tells us to focus on, it will promote the peace of God in our hearts and lives. That can be an indication. I'm not saying this to condemn anyone. We've probably all done it to some degree. But if we are just in absolute turmoil and anxiety and fear and worry, then let that be an indication to draw closer to the Lord and to focus on Him, to fellowship with Him, and to focus on and speak and confess and dwell our thoughts on His Word, because that will promote the peace of God in us. And the peace of God is a great, it's not only for us, it's a testimony to those around us that we can be a blessing to them as well. The Bible says this, if you want to, I'll just give you these last two verses if you want to write them down. Psalms chapter 119, verse 71. Psalms 119 and verse 71. The psalmist writes, it is good for me that I have been afflicted. That word also can mean oppressed or even humbled. It's good for me that I've been afflicted. Why would you say that? That I may learn your statutes. Sometimes See, God's purpose in every one of us here today, everyone streaming, listening, is Christ-likeness. And God's life will give us plenty of opportunities to draw closer to God and to grow more like Him. And sometimes we can go through a season and we choose how we respond. So we can go through a time in our lives and it's troubling, it's heartbreaking. I feel like I'm so alone, I'm hurting, I'm discouraged, I've fallen. And something good can come out of that if we will use it to draw us closer to the Lord. If we will use it to receive that truth, learn from Him, learn from His truth, and begin to live it out, then that can be our testimony. We can look back and say, man, I went through this time. Some of us here today could say, I went through a trial in my life, and it was so painful, Lord knows, I would not have chosen it. But I can look back on my life, and I can see how I grew closer to the Lord, and I grew spiritually, I grew stronger, not because of me, but because of His grace. How many of us can look back at a time in our lives and say, I thank God that He saw me. I didn't think I could even make it through that, but God was faithful. See, we can be a testimony to others because people can relate to struggle. People can relate to reality. And we go through those times, let's handle it the right way. Let's not just quit and give up. Let's draw closer to the Lord and walk closer with Him and seek to grow in His will. And then one final scripture, if you want to write it down, is 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, the Bible says this. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing. Because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. God's word works. And when we believe it and apply it and live it out, it will work in us to help us grow more like the Lord. Jesus said, come to me and learn from me. Whatever you may enjoy in life, you have a hobby that you enjoy, that's great. You enjoy sport, I do. I enjoy, you know, watching certain sports. Maybe you enjoy whatever it may be. Again, let's be informed. We don't have to stick our head in the sand, deny anything. Let's be involved, participate. But I want to ask you a question this morning between you and God. Will you make the only source of eternal and inspired truth, the Lord and His Word, will you make truth a higher priority than any of those other things in your life? And if you will, then how will you live it out? Because we've got to make it practical. Aren't there so many things to steal our schedule today? Aren't there so many things that can distract us? They can be good things. But if they distract us from the Lord, it's not a good thing. It becomes an idol. Let's make sure Jesus is actually Lord of our lives and live for Him. Love truth, learn truth, and live truth. Brothers and sisters, let's be the light of truth in a sin-darkened world around us, and do it to give glory to our Father in heaven. Can we stand together as we close in prayer?